So we're going to go ahead and invite Pastor Seth to come up. And so why don't you guys give him a round?
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Good evening. All right, I'm gonna get it. You guys doing okay? Praise God. I was upstairs and I said, Lord, give HMCC of Austin this place. Amen. That's what I said. That'll be awesome if you guys can actually have this place so you can worship anytime. Wouldn't that be awesome? Turn to somebody next year and say, you got to pray harder. All right, go ahead. Tell them you got to pray. All right. Seriously, you got to pray harder. Well, I am really thankful that I can be here. Let me just say, being back in the States, it's been about 5 days now. It's been great. I was able to meet a lot of different people and also to be able to renew some of my friendships with some people around. And I got to meet Rudy and also Gus. I got to meet Gus. And they're doing really well. They're doing really well. So praise God for that. And there's a Chinese guy named Chewy that I was able to also meet. So praise the Lord for that. But he was born in Mexico. And all I can say is it's great to be in the great state of Texas. Amen. As soon as we arrived, there were some people, I have friends from Texas, and they're like, welcome to God's country. And I said, yes, this is Texas. I'm just really thankful just for Pastor Ben and Susan. Really, I've seen them over the years for the last 20 years, almost 20 years, just seeing them grow up through our church. Pastor Ben came in as a grad student, and Susan came in as a freshman. And just seeing them go through all the ups and downs and different things of life, and then them coming together. I remember Pastor Ben saying, Pastor, can I talk to you? Uh-huh. You know, there's a difference of, like, can I talk to you? And then, can I talk to you? So when I got the, can I talk to you, then I knew something was up. And just to see them start their relationship together and even the receiving their calling to go into the ministry, it's been such a great joy to be a part of their lives. And even with my wife, Christina, just walking them through it. So you don't know how blessed you are. You have a great pastor and Susan, who's a servant of the Lord, who loves Jesus and their children. So come on, let's honor them and give them a clap. Amen. Amen. And really thankful to even Pastor Tufu. We were able to chat a little bit, and we talked a while. And it was kind of like, you know, boyfriend and girlfriend, they're in the car talking. That was him and I last night. We're in the car and right in front of the hotel, and we're just kind of talking together. And it was great just to reconnect with him and just all the different leaders here who are serving. And, you know, it's a great joy to always come back whenever I have an opportunity, not just to meet Gus and Rudy and Chewy, but just to see all of you. So I know some of you are like, who is that man? Who is this guy? You don't know me. Don't worry. Just get to know Jesus, all right? That's the most important thing here. The last time I came, I think it was about a year and a half ago when my wife and I, our family, were getting ready to be commissioned out to go to Hong Kong. And since then, God's been doing some great things. And I want to share a little bit about that in my message just to update you. And also to have you pray for us. Some of you have been praying with us, praying for us. Some of you gave generously. And so I want to be able to share with you all that God is doing just in Hong Kong and also in all over Asia. And I want to share a little bit just from the Word to remind us that it's really all about Jesus and His kingdom. So if you have your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 16. We're just going to be looking at three verses. And we're going to ask God to speak to us as we talk about the passionate pursuit. The passionate pursuit. Romans chapter 16, verse 25 through 27. Just kind of leave your Bibles open there, or if you're looking at your phone, you could turn it off because you're tempted right now to look at Facebook and Snapchat and all the other fun stuff. I want to start off by asking a question for you to think about. Simply this: if someone were to ask your friends what you were very passionate about, what would they say? So think about that for a second. Some of the people you hang out with, if I were to go over to them and ask them, what is this person? What is he or she? What are they really passionate about? What do you think that they would say? You know, whatever the answer may be, it's probably related to something that you are excited about. I could guarantee you about that. Another thing would be something that you put a lot of investment in. So it could be your time, your energy, your resources. They'll probably say, yeah, they're really passionate about this. You know, that's why when you think about this, it could be anything from sports to a life-giving cause where you spend so much of your time, your energy, things that you get excited about. Those are things that we're passionate about. You know, after being in Asia for about a year and a half now and living in Hong Kong, I realized that people are passionate about many things. But if there's one thing that they are passionate about, it's K-pop. Now, I know some of you have no clue on this side of the world what K-pop is. So let me try to explain it to you as best as I can. K-pop stands for Korean pop culture. It's just kind of like this Korean way. It literally affects culture. We're talking about fashion, hairstyle, facial cream. We're talking about the whole gamut. It literally affects all of Asia, and it has such a strong influence. I remember one time I was in the airport and talking to this one person, and we were just chatting together over a meal, and all of a sudden we heard like women screaming. I thought I heard some guys' voices too, but it was mostly women. They were yelling. They were going crazy. We thought something was going on, but we looked over, and people were taking pictures, and he told me, he goes, most likely there's probably a Korean pop star that landed in Hong Kong, and he's going to have a concert, or she's going to have a concert here. So I'm like, this is crazy. Like, in the airport, they know exactly, and this was about 12-something in midnight, and that was the only time before he took off that I was able to have this conversation with him. And so as I was meeting with him, I'm like, my goodness, don't they have anything else to do with their life? And here they are waiting for these K-pop stars to come and to land. Now, I wanted to give you just a little glimpse of this K-pop culture. I want to show you a video. And like I said, it has affected so much of the culture in Asia that sometimes I always tell them, they go, where are you from? I don't say United States. I go, I'm Korean, you know. I'm originally from Korea. And they go, oh. Then I go, then America. You know, I'm Korean-American. But, you know, I got to stick in that Korean thing in there because that's always to my advantage. But I don't want to say that in North Korea. Anyway, so I have to make sure that it's South Korea so they understand. So this video that you're going to watch, there's this guy. He decided he's going to just literally become a K-pop star and fool people, and this is in China, and he's going to go around. He hired some bodyguards. He got one of his girlfriends to kind of look like she's a girlfriend of a famous K-pop star, and they go around a mall, and I just want you to see the hysteria of just seeing this K-pop star. Now, you need to understand, it's a fake. This guy just dressed up like a K-pop star, and they don't even know what's going on, but they just want to be near this person and just even amongst his entourage. So I want you to just see how crazy and passionate people are in Asia for K-pop. So let's watch this together.
What up, everybody? Welcome to Reproductions TV. Now, today, we are going to do the Korean celebrity prank. Now, this is my beautiful wife. Oh my god. Now, not this one. The next one. Oh yeah, this one is my beautiful sexy wife. Very nice. Okay. Now, next one. Now, this is my translator slash assistant. Please bow. Thank you. Now, you can go. Alright, the next one is the security. Oh my god, okay, you scared me very much. Okay, now this is my two security, very, very tough guy. I get protected from them. go now. And next one is the cameraman. I have two cameramen. Let's go. Okay. Oh, very, very handsome, huh? Very handsome. Okay. This is my two cameramen. Now, I hope you guys enjoy the, you know, so Korean, what is it? Korean celebrity prank. Okay. Now, see you guys next time.
Are you listening? Damn.
Wow, ridiculous. Some of you are like, I would never do that. Yeah, just watch. You know, as I was watching this, I just realized, wow, what would happen if we channeled all that passion and that excitement to just follow what we thought was a Korean pop star? You guys know he was fake, but they dressed the part, they looked the part. What if we channeled all our passion and that desire to know someone that famous towards Jesus Christ and the gospel. I think the world will change if we had believers, people in the church who are this passionate about Jesus and the gospel. You know, when a person feels the pleasure of God by the things that they do and the things that they're passionate about, it really is a powerful thing. In fact, no longer does it become work. No longer does it become a duty or a chore. But it's going to be something that you find true joy in doing, because that's your passion. That's what you're passionate about. How many of you have seen the movie Chariots of Fire? Can I see? Go ahead, raise your hand. If you haven't seen it, it's one of those top 100 movies that you have to see before you die. And this movie, The Chariots of Fire, there were two runners in the 1924 Olympics that were held in Paris. And there were two specific runners, Eric Liddell and Harold Abrahams. And they both represented Great Britain. And Eric Liddell, as some of you know, that's what the story is about, he refused to run on the Sabbath, on the Sunday, because he believed that was holy unto the Lord. And so what he did was he was not able to run one of the races for gold medal. And the interesting thing about the story is that God used that the next day in the next race, that's the race that he won. I want you to listen to what Tim Keller said in his book, King's Cross. He writes about the different motivations of these two runners, Eric Liddell and Abrahams. And listen to what he says. He says this, Abrahams and Liddell were both trying very hard to win gold medals, but Abraham was doing it out of a need to prove himself. At one point, Abrahams said, I got 10 seconds to justify my existence. Liddell, on the other hand, simply wanted to please God, please the God who had already accepted him. That's why he said, God made me fast, and when I run, I feel his pleasure. Most of us work and work trying to prove ourselves, to convince God, others, and ourselves that we're good people. That work is never over unless we rest in the gospel. The Apostle Paul found rest in the gospel, and it literally transformed his life. If you remember, to Paul, everything was rubbish compared to the pursuit of knowing Jesus Christ, his Lord. Listen to what it says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 7 through 10 in the New Living Translation. He says this, I was once thought these things were valuable, because he gave a whole list of his resume of all the things that he could have boasted about. He says, I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I want you to focus in on that. It says, knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counted it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death. I want to know Christ. That was his passionate pursuit in life. Can I ask us, what are you pursuing after that will cause you to feel the pleasure of God? If it's not centered around Jesus and the gospel, you're going to experience an empty and unfulfilled life. Some of you right now, you are so passionately pursuing after your grades. And there's nothing wrong with studying hard. In fact, I want to encourage you to study hard. Why? Because that becomes one of the greatest witnessing tools to other people around you, to invite them to come to life group or even a Sunday celebration or maybe a hiking event that you might have, because they see your life and you're by far great, better than anyone else around you or around them. And so that becomes a great evangelism tool. But some of us, we're trying to pursue good grades because we're trying to prove ourselves. Some of you are trying to pursue after certain jobs. It's amazing how many people will go to certain fields and they don't even have passion for it. And they're miserable. They wake up every single morning on Mondays and they sit there in their cubicles and they're wondering to themselves, why am I doing what I'm doing? And this is the story of so many people in this world, especially in the church. What are you pursuing after that will cause you to feel the pleasure of God? This is why Eric Geiger, the vice president of Lifeway Christian Resource, listen to what he wrote on his blog. He said this: two artists paint a similar picture. One seeks joy in the painting and is never quenched. The other seeks joy in God and feels his pleasure as he paints. Two doctors perform surgery. One performs surgery because she loves the feeling of being needed. The other performs a surgery for the glory of God, and she senses God's pleasure when she operates. Two parents raise their kids. One seeks joy in her children, and she builds her life on their success. If they misbehave, she is crushed as her identity takes a blow. Another parent finds her joy in God and offers her children to him. As she parents, she feels his pleasure. You could have two people doing the exact same thing. One, they do it for themselves, and the other, they do it for God's pleasure. Tonight, I want to talk about that. And may we pursue Jesus with everything so that it will fuel our passion for the gospel and for the glory of God. So let me give us the one thing that I want you to remember, and simply this: live for God's pleasure as we treasure Jesus beyond all measure. Come on now. Live for God's pleasure as we treasure Jesus beyond all measure. More than anything else in this world, may he become our treasure. And that's how we're going to live for God's pleasure. There are two specific things that I want us to remember about living for God's pleasure as we treasure Jesus beyond our measure. Hopefully you've turned to Romans chapter 16 by now. The first thing that I want to highlight for us is simply this: be passionate about the gospel of Christ. Be passionate about the gospel of Christ. Let's read verse 25. Listen to what it says here. And as you know, this is Apostle Paul writing to the people of Rome, and he's closing out his letter, and this is the doxology, which is the part where he's praising God. And listen to what he says in verse 25. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages. Let's just pause and look at verse 25 as we talk about being passionate about the gospel of Christ. Paul closes out this letter to the believers, and this is the part that I want you to see. He puts all the attention back on Jesus Christ, back on God, who he is. I want you to look at the phrase, to him who is able. You see that phrase in verse 25? This is a good reminder that it's all about God, and he's able to do things rather than us doing things. You know, we live in a culture where a lot of us, we're good at doing things. Some of us are a little bit more talented than other people. And that's why we take pride in the things that we do. Or we judge other people who might not be able to do certain things. Or we get jealous because there's other people who do certain things better than us. But I want you to understand, Paul, who was so talented, who had so much going for him, it's very clear that he's not focused on himself, but he says, to him who is able. Not him, but to God. And the interesting part is that if you study the book of Romans, you will come to the realization that everything that throughout this whole book, the whole thrust of it, is about faith. It's about faith in God. It's about obedience to God. All these things can only happen by God's grace and God's strength. You did not become a believer because you were just a good kid. You did not somehow found this church because, you know, you're good at finding things. Just think about your story this past year. When you started in late August or early September, some of you who are working, single adults, that you came to the city for work, and there were some other possibilities in terms of jobs, but all those doors closed, but this one job opened up, and that's why you're here. I want you to think about this, and it's so easy to forget that it's not us, but it's God. That God led you to this church. That God led you to that job. That it's God that enabled you to come to know him. Because apart from him, you would not be here. There are two other times when the phrase "to him who is able" appears in scripture. The first one is Jude chapter 24. I want to read it from the ESV. It says this: "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy." So it reminds us it's God who's going to preserve you. It's God who's going to uphold you. You know, once again, so many of us, we forget that. We're like, oh, we got to try harder. This is all on us. It's not. To him who is able. That he's the one who's going to sustain this church. Not you. Not that one person. I think this is the problem with so many of us. We have this mindset of, oh, it's because of that leader, or it's because of that person and this group of people. It's not. It's God. Even if something were to happen to anybody in here, God loves his church more than you can love it. And he will sustain it. He will keep it growing. Even when I was in Ann Arbor, there were many seasons in our church where people would come, and some of them stuck around for a long time, 10, 15 some years. And some of them, after serving a long time, they just felt this call of God to pursue other things in life. So they had to go to other cities or move back to their country. And some of these people were people who held pretty important positions in our church. And I remember in my Pastor Ben and, you know, Pastor Andrew and any of these people who have been with our church, you will know those seasons where we're thinking to ourselves, oh my God, if that person's leave, what's going to happen? And the amazing part, time and time again, is that God proves to us that it's not about that person. As soon as that person left, God raised up somebody else and it made it even grow further. That doesn't mean that that person didn't do a good job. That simply means that person did everything they were supposed to do for that season of time, and they moved on. And God says, now I'm doing a new thing. And that's why he raises people up. Sometimes he brings new people in, or within the body of Christ in that location, he raises them up that we weren't even able to see with our human eyes, but they pop out of nowhere. You're like, what? Who are they? And they just pop up and you realize, wow. It was almost like they were destined for this. They're created for this. They were in our church and no one really knew. But then they started rising up and they took that our church to a whole new level. It's not us. It's to him who is able. And if you understand that principle in scripture, you realize everything in life is not about you. That doesn't mean that we don't participate in God's work. But sadly, he doesn't need any of us. But when he does invite us, it's a privilege. Can I get a good amen to that? It's a privilege. It's an honor. He doesn't need us, but he's inviting us in, and we get first dibs. We're like, yes, we get to do this. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 is another time that it appears. In the ESV it says this: "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us." He is the only one who is able to do so much more than we could ever even think about or even dream about. That's why I like the Message translation. I usually call that the South Side, Chicago version. This is what he says. He says, God can do anything, you know. I'm going to have to go to the SKV. That's a Seth Kim version, you know. I try to keep it real. It says, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Think about some of the craziest things. And that's why sometimes when we dream for God, when we dream about things that God is putting in our hearts, we always go, and then all of a sudden we're like, oh no, we can't do that. Yeah, because you can't. So what he's saying is that whatever you're dreaming about, that's nothing, because he is able to do. Amen? He's able to do it. Once again, the focus is on God whenever anything good happens. You know, I think too often we live in this kind of world where it's all about how capable we are, how talented we are. This is why we're so focused on performance and accomplishing things. And I think this is the very reason why some of you in this room get so easily discouraged, especially when you fail. In fact, I always tell people, and that's how I'm trying to raise my kids, to tell them, go try it. If you fail, it's okay. You learn, you get smarter. That's why, I don't know if you know this or not, but in Asia, there aren't too many creative inventions, because everyone stays within this little box because it's all about performance. Listen, because their value is dependent on what they do or what they don't do. Why are all the inventions being started out in the West here in America? Because there's a culture of go experiment, go try new things. It's not like that in Asia. In fact, I remember just talking to one of the sisters in our church, and she was going through a lot of difficult things. And, you know, I had another sister, one of the other leaders there, because I'm not going to be able to be there 24/7 helping the sister. So I wanted to make sure the leader was there to be able to kind of walk with her through the stuff that she was going through. But it's amazing, as I was talking with her, just hearing her story growing up in this Asian culture. And as I was listening to the story, it just started breaking my heart, because she was sharing about some of the words that her mom spoke to her about. How you're stupid, how you're nothing, look at you, why you can't even do anything right. And all her life, ever since she was a little girl, she tried so hard to earn the approval of her mom, and she couldn't. And that's why she went through this whole phase of her life where she was even eating disorders to just trying to control her own life. And she was sharing at one point she wanted to kill herself because she felt she was so worthless. And you hear these kind of stories again and again. And you think to yourself, what they need more than anything else is the gospel that says that you are loved and accepted no matter who you are, what you do or what you don't do. That's amazing. That's why it's amazing grace. Because God doesn't have to love a person like me or people like us. But he did, in spite of who you are, your mistakes, the things that you cannot do. And he brought us in and he reconciled us, Jesus Christ reconciled us between us and God. And that's why I want to encourage us that we have to remember it's not about us. It's not about what we can do. It's not about what we can't do. You're not in the equation. It's all God. To him who is able. Turn to somebody and say, it's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. Listen. It is God who's able to do, and to do what? I hope you caught that in part of it in verse 25. And we're going to read verse 26 a little later here. But I want you to first catch that first part. There are a couple things that God is able to do through the gospel. The first thing he says is that the gospel, through Jesus Christ, because he's able, God is able, through Jesus Christ, through the gospel, it strengthens believers. When you look at verse 25 again, it says that God strengthens us according to Paul's gospel. When Paul said, according to my gospel, he is not saying that he is the sole proprietor of this gospel message. What he's simply saying is that this gospel that transformed my life, and now it is this gospel that I preach. So it's my gospel. It's personalized. This is me. This is not my mom's gospel. This is not my dad's gospel because he's an elder of a church. But this is my gospel, the story that God has been writing in my life, and he's still writing for all these months and all these years. This is my gospel that he says that he is being strengthened. I want you to look at the word strengthened. It can be translated as confirmed or established or uphold. It is this gospel and the preaching of Jesus which enables us to be established and stand strong in Jesus Christ. Let me just pause here, and I want to challenge us with this. Some of you in this room might be very tired for various reasons. Sometimes you're tired because you're working hard. Sometimes you're tired because you're working hard at video games and other things that I will not mention. Some of you are tired because maybe you're living in sin, and sin does that. It makes you tired. And I'm telling you right now, some of your tiredness and you feeling very weak, what we fail to connect it to is back to the gospel. There are so many times when I'm physically tired. There are so many times when I'm mentally tired. There are so many times when I just feel like I just don't have anything else to give. But it's in those moments when God somehow reminds me of the gospel, of where I would have been if I didn't know Jesus Christ, if he didn't find me in my lostness. I think about the things that I would be pursuing right now if it wasn't Jesus who saved me. Sometimes it's good to watch the Passion of the Christ. Some of you might have to watch it every day, but it's good to watch it. Because when you actually visually see exactly what Jesus Christ went through for people like you and people like me, the sacrifice, literally the 40 lashes minus one, you see his back completely just raw, skin pulled apart, the crown of thorns, carrying that cross, the beam all the way through towards Golgotha, and then they nailed him on both of his hands, on his right and his left, and nailed both of his feet. And when you think about him hanging on that cross for hours, people waiting for him to suffocate, you think about that and you say, God, why in the world would you love a person like me? Every single time when you sin and when you struggle with different issues, addictions in your life, and you look at the cross and you go, God, it's for this very reason, it's for this very sin. When you think about the gospel, I'm going to tell you right now, it will strengthen you. That's why Paul says, to him who is able to strengthen you, which is uphold you, establish you, confirm in you, through this gospel that has been preached to you. What he's saying is that we find the strength as followers of Jesus Christ through this gospel. Are you living by this gospel? Is this gospel amazing to you? Is this the gospel that kind of causes you to say, why me, Lord? Why? Not only does this gospel strengthen believers, but as we read verse 26, we see that it saves nations. That's another reason why we have to be passionate about the gospel. Let's read verse 26. This is what it says in verse 26. But has now been disclosed and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations according to the command of the eternal God to bring about the obedience of faith. The reason why we have to be passionate about the gospel is because not only does it strengthen you and I as believers, but it also saves nations. The last phrase of verse 25, it says that the gospel was once a mystery. In verse 26, it was once a mystery that was kept secret from the beginning of time. But it says, but now it has been revealed to us. What Paul understood, listen to me carefully, what Paul understood was that it was a privilege and an honor to be given this responsibility of sharing the gospel to the nations. Because prior to him and many other people, they did not have this revelation of this gospel. It was not made known to them. But now it has. And because he understands the gospel now, that the responsibility is those who understand now, you have to go and share it with other people, and not just your friends, but to the nations. Think about it this way. If some of you in this room, you're in a bio lab, because that's your major, you're doing research, and you found the cure for cancer, I guarantee you, you would just do cartwheels first. And then you will quickly rush and you will verify this, and so that you could get this medicine to the world, because there are people dying of this disease of cancer. You would not keep it to yourself. That's what Paul understood, that this gospel that has been hidden for so many ages now has been revealed through Jesus Christ. And that he encountered Christ as he was walking on the road to Damascus to kill Christians. But God, Jesus Christ, revealed himself to Paul. And that's why Paul says this revelation that has been hidden, this gospel, now has been revealed to me. And that's why he feels this urgency and this burden to share this gospel message to all the nations. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 through 9, in the New Living Translation, listen to what he says. By God's grace and mighty power, I have been given, and listen to this phrase, the privilege of serving him by what? Come on now. Spreading this good news. Through him, though I am the least deserving of all God's people, he graciously gave me the privilege of telling the Gentiles about the endless treasures available to them in Christ. And he says this in verse 9. He says, I was what? Everyone say it. Chosen. Well, he could have chosen anybody. But God, in his mercy and his grace, he looked upon this guy who was a complete killer of Christians, that he decided to choose him to explain to everyone this mysterious plan that God, the creator of all things, had kept secret from the beginning. Do you see that? This gospel that he's preaching, not only does it strengthen believers, but it's saving nations. And realize, I have this tremendous responsibility because I understand the gospel now, that I have to share it with as many people as possible. The Message translation of the same passage, listen to what it says. This is my life work. Can you imagine? I'm wondering how many of you can say, this is my life's work. This is what I'm called to do. This is my life work, helping people understand and respond to this message. It came as a sheer gift to me, a real surprise. If you're not surprised, some of you, you have a very self-righteous attitude. I'm always thinking, God, why me? I hope you have that kind of attitude, like being real surprised. When other people are surprised, then that's a good sign. Oh my God, really? Her? Then Jesus is glorified, because they know that it's not you. Do you see what I'm saying? They go, oh my God, are you serious? That guy, he is like, yep, I know, right? That real surprise. So then that person will never get credit. They'll be like, it must be God. There is a God in this world. That's how it works. You know, I was thinking about it. Some of you are so talented, they always start praising you, like, oh my God, you're such a great leader, or you're so good at this. And you're like, you know, I'm all right. It's so easy to just kind of direct that praise to yourself. But when you have nothing and everyone thinks you're nothing, you're not that great, and they're like, oh my God, OMG, that's a good sign. Thank you, sister. Praise the Lord. We have someone like that in our church, and they're usually sitting around, right around here, and no one is laughing at me, but this one person, like, ha, 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 and everyone's like looking over, because like, why is she, but then I get so encouraged, so praise the Lord. Okay, okay, shh, self-control, self-control. It says, a real surprise, God handling all the details. When he came to presenting the message to people who had no background in God's way, I was the least qualified of any of these available Christians. So can you imagine all these people who are available, right? And they're like, no, yeah, yeah, no, no. Who wants to do it? Everyone's like, no, no, I don't want to do it. I don't want to do it. And Paul's like, I don't want to do it either. The real surprise. So he says, I was the least qualified of any of these available Christian. So God saw to it that I was equipped, but you can be sure that it had nothing to do with my what? Natural abilities. Some of you are like, I don't have any natural abilities. I just don't. You're perfect. That's exactly what God wants. And so here I am preaching and writing about things that are way over my head. Do some of you guys feel like that? You're like in way over your head? The inexhaustible riches and generosity of Christ, my task is to bring out the open, bring out in the open and make plain what God, who created all things in the first place, has been doing in secret and behind the scenes all along. But the end goal, listen, but the end goal of the revelation of the gospel was that people from all nations can believe and to obey. The reason why the gospel was revealed to Paul and revealed to so many of us here was so that there will be people from all nations gathered together worshiping this God. That's why this should humble us and cause us to feel the sense of privilege as we are now commissioned to take this gospel to all the nations. You know this passage in Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, all ethnic groups of all people from all over the world, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's us. I want to share a little bit of what God's been doing in Hong Kong as we think about this passion for this gospel. And I just knew even before we got to Hong Kong that the need was great. We also felt from the Holy Spirit, as some of you know, before we took off, when we came to your retreat, shared a little bit of the vision of our church. Some of you are new, haven't just joined us this past year. You probably haven't heard it or seen it. But I just want to kind of give you an overview of what's been happening this past year and a half. And this is more of encouragement to you of all the prayers you lifted up and some of you who have gave and HMCG of Austin supporting our family. All I can say is that God has used all the investment and multiplied many times over. If you remember one of the first pictures, I don't know if it's up here. This picture is on my phone. It's all over the place. Anywhere I can get access to. This is an in-flight magazine that I took a picture of when I was sitting on this plane before it took off, because as I was looking through this magazine, I stopped on this page and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he says, reach Hong Kong, you're gonna reach the rest of Asia and this part of the world. And this was even before we decided to go to Hong Kong. I just felt the Holy Spirit speaking to me about this. And I realized there's something significant and something important about Hong Kong that we have to start praying about. Also, as I was thinking about this, when we got there, just God started moving powerfully, because we had some people who graduated from Michigan, from Hong Kong, and they graduated from Michigan, and they were going to go back to Hong Kong at the same time that we were going to go to Hong Kong to start the church. So we had some people in HMCC of Ann Arbor who experienced transformation, who experienced the gospel, and they were excited that we were coming to start the church. So they had friends. We started meeting people, and God started saying to us, if you could reach Hong Kong, once again, if you could reach Hong Kong, you're going to reach the nations. And that's why we mapped out Hong Kong where all the universities. So if you look at this next picture, you will see that this is a picture of where all the universities are. Let me see if I could use this pointer here. There we go. Good. Wow, this is, whoa, okay. We wanted to start a life group at CUHK, which is one of the top universities in Asia, probably top 20 universities in Asia, because some of our former Michigan students, they were going to go to grad school at CUHK. So it wasn't even a question. We just knew that God was calling us to start a church at CUHK campus right up here. We were then going to start another life group at HKU, which is like the Harvard of Asia, or at least Hong Kong there, a top eight, I think it's top eight, top four or five, I forget what it is, university in Asia. So we wanted to focus on these two universities, up here, CU, and then HKU. But through series of God-ordained events, he called us to not go to HKU, but go to PolyU, which is right here. So we started a life group at CUHK and then PolyU right over here. And since then, what has happened is that we started a life group, one life group in this campus and this campus. And since then, right now, we have two life groups here at CU and two life groups at PolyU. Just recently, probably back in September, one of the things that happened was back in May 2015, we had our Ignite conference. How many of you going to Ignite? Woo! All right. You don't want to miss out. Well, you could miss out, but you're just going to miss out. So sign up for Ignite, all right? It's going to be all right. All right, so one of the things that God did was we had our Ignite conference, and we went on these campuses to do some prayer walking. That was May 2015. And then in August of 2015,2016. And in August 2016, I went on my personal retreat. And during that time, God put it in my heart to start praying for HKUST. This is like the MIT of Hong Kong, HKUST. Hong Kong University of Science and Technology. It's now one of the top universities all over Asia. And I don't know why, but God just put it on my heart to pray for HKUST during my personal retreat. So I began to pray. I came back to Hong Kong on Thursday, and then when I went to preach on our Sunday celebration, about four HKUST students came to our Sunday celebration. And somebody quickly pointed me out that they're from HKUST. And it was one of those things where you just prayed on Thursday, and all of a sudden on Sunday, these four people come. So I remember saying, like, hey, I pray for you. You don't even know it. No, I didn't say that. I didn't want to freak them out. So I'm just like, hey, what's going on? And so I said, so we normally have lunch right after because we meet in a canteen area, which is kind of cafeteria area. So we had lunch together there. And as we're talking, I'm like, are there any like Christian groups out there? And they go, Pastor, there's nothing out there. Now, let me tell you, they're freshmen. They don't know anything, right? They're like, there's nothing out there. And I'm thinking, really nothing? They're like, nothing. So I said, what if we just go and let's just meet together and just see what's going on campus? And then later on, find out there's other groups there on campus, you know? So they just don't know anything, all right? And so we go there, and we were just talking, and as we were, they're showing me the campus, and I was just like, wow, God can do some amazing things here. And so I said, well, let's just pray. If you want to meet next week, we can meet next week. They go, okay, let's meet. And so what started off with about four, and there were about four or five that time when we met. Next week, they invited their friends, and we had eight. So that we're just still talking, right? We're still talking. And then next week, there was, I think, close to 11 people. Then I'm like, okay, we got to do more than talking. We got to do some stuff here. And then we decided to, let's use the Bible study we use for the other life groups, and we'll just go over with them. So that's what we started doing. And then from 11, we got to like 13. And from 13, we moved to 15. And then the infamous, and that HMCC trademark Harvest Games was coming up. And they're like, And I wasn't even thinking about it because this wasn't a life group. I didn't want to start another life group. I'm busy. You know, you're on your own. You do whatever. I'm not going to start another life group. But they go, oh, Pastor, what's the H game? What's Harvest Games? I'm like, be quiet. It's nothing. You know? No, I didn't say that. But like, I wanted to say that because they're like, oh, what? It looks really fun. I'm like, yeah, it's only for those life groups. And they're like, what are we? I'm like, I don't know. And that's when I talked to some of these leaders, our executive team. I'm like, what do we do? We got to decide what we're going to do. And then we said, let's just make a life group and have them have their own group because they have about 15 people now. And we're like, okay, the next week I go, okay, guys, we're a life group. They go, okay, we're a life group. And so we started meeting. And right now we have, it started off mostly Indonesians, but now we have Koreans. We have Malaysians. We have people from other parts of the world, part of this life group, and some Chinese, mainland Chinese people. And the exciting part is this, is that God started stirring the hearts of these students. And so we're going to actually be a recognized student organization so that we could actually reach out to new students coming August 2017. And so two here, one here. And then all these single adults that are coming to our church, I'm like, oh, Lord, go back, go find another church, you know. No, the pastors can never say that, okay? But sometimes they feel it, but they can't say it. You know, when you don't like that person, you can't be like, I hate you. You can't say that. You're like, oh, hi, Jesus loves you, you know. It's that kind of feeling. And so we started seeing single adults. You guys know that there's almost 2 million single adults, single people in Hong Kong. Population of 7.3 million people. And so we said, what do we do with these guys? So in September of 2016, just this past like 8 months, we started a single adult life group. And right now it's been growing and we're going to see 2 more leaders being raised up from there. And then we had one of the married couples join us to be a part of this team. And some of the married couples started going to these college life groups because they just loved life group. But they're married. I'm like, you guys are weird. And I'm like, why are you going to this freshman or sophomore, these young? They go, we just love it, Pastor. And I'm thinking, oh, my God. So we talked to them. We said, would you like to have a life group for married couples? And they were like, oh, just for married people? We're like, yes. And they're like, yes. And I said, Dave and Sarah, you lead it. And so my wife and I, we're just kind of like, I don't even know if co-leaders, we're like helpers at large, you know, wherever you need us. And so we actually started a married couples life group just 8 some months ago, and it's been growing. Why am I sharing all this? Because as we, can you go back to the other picture first, the in-flight magazine? When God said to reach Hong Kong because you're going to reach the rest of the region or the area, we just knew that, if you could turn back to the next slide, we just knew that in order to reach Hong Kong, to make that other slide of reality, we have to reach these universities. And from these universities, if these universities have 6 to 8 life groups, we're going to start a site, a church site. To get from here all the way to PolyU, it takes 1 hour. You have to take a train, make 2 transfers, and take a bus. It is that long, 1 hour. And so we said, how awesome would it be if we can multiply life groups in each of these campuses? We could actually have a church site here, a church site here, a church site here. And we're praying for this campus. If we can start something for the island, this is where it's known for the Hong Kong island. And over here, Lingnan University. It's a smaller university, but this is where the airport is. And this whole area here, we want to reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why is this important? Turn to the next slide. When you look at the next slide, this is something that God kind of revealed to us when I was, it was about, I don't know how many years now, maybe about 3 some years ago. This is, that's not even 3, it's about 2 years. This is a Washington Post article. And what they said was this. They said, in this circle right here, there are more people living inside the circle than the rest of the world. 52 to 53% of the world's population live in the circle. Well, you have India and China, so you know, you do the math. 52 to 53% of the world's population live in the circle, and guess what's in the middle? There's a little island that's right about here, and it's called Hong Kong. When I read this, I felt the Holy Spirit just saying, this is what I was showing you several years ago. Reach Hong Kong, you're going to be able to reach the rest of the world. And as I was watching this, I just said, God, if we could reach Hong Kong, what can we do? And that's when someone sent me this picture as I was sharing. Can you go to the next one? If you look at this from Hong Kong, there's anywhere from 4 hours to 5 hour flight. That's how short it is. You could reach this part of the world just on a 4 to 5 hour flight. And some of those cities that you see are cities that we would love to plant churches in the future. Now, as we were praying about this, one thing that God placed in our hearts was that there's about 450 unreached people groups and unengaged people groups. Simply means they don't have a witness of Jesus Christ, or they don't have a church in that particular people group, in their language, in their culture. 450 of them in China alone. So we're talking about 1.3 billion people. There's about 450 people groups, which equal to about 181 million people in China that has no witness of the gospel. And as I was hearing these statistics, God started moving my heart. And then if you look at the next picture, you will see this. On the southern part of China right here, you see this highly populated, dense place here. This area right here, it has about 157 unreached people group out of the 450 that's all over China, right here. And so what God has been doing recently is that he's been kind of opening some doors for us to go to Kunming, which is this one area where there's 9 universities in this one city, and they're almost like a horseshoe. It's like 9 universities back to back. They call it university towns. And one of the things that I've been telling people is God is using even the Chinese government. Praise God. The Chinese government, President Xi, he thinks he's controlling the whole world. There's someone higher than him. They passed a law, or they passed a resolution, that they were going to build cities, mega cities, around universities. Because a lot of these universities are in different places where it's remote. And so because of that, a lot of people leave after they graduate, which is very similar to what we saw in Ann Arbor. But they said all these talent is moving out. So we're going to actually build a mega city around these universities. So that's what they did. And this resolution passed just all throughout China. And so in Kunming alone, there are 9 universities that are back to back to back. You could literally drive through this whole place in 15 minutes, and all these 9 universities are there. And what we found out is that there's one university called Minzu University. Minzu in Chinese means people group. And so this is where a lot of the people who live in this area, these red circles, they come to this university. And what we began to envision and pray for is this. If we can reach out to that university, there will be many unreached people who've never heard of Jesus Christ. If they can hear of Jesus Christ, receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we disciple them and then train them. We could send them back to their people group, wherever they are in these red dots, and they will be able to bring the gospel to the nations, to their people. That's what we're trying to do right now with some of our missions projects that we're going to send in June. In the future, we're going to open up other opportunities in China so that some of you who have a burden for China can come and be a part of that missions project as part of the HMCC family. And eventually what we want to see, as we look at the next picture really quickly, is this Back to Jerusalem movement. I'm not going to have time to go into all of it, but these are used to be what they call the Silk Road. This is where the silk trade and also spices and opium and all that kind of stuff back in the day. And so what we're seeing is that here are all these places where God is raising up believers in China who would take the gospel then to the Silk Road and all these different places in Central Asia, to the Middle East, and back to Jerusalem, where the gospel will go forth. why am I sharing all this? As I was kind of thinking about what God has been doing in the last year and a half, just a year and a half, there is no human being that will be able to take any credit for what God has done in this past year and a half. And if you were to talk to any of our church plant team members, they will say the same thing. Because we know we're not that good. We know that we don't have all the talents and all the energy to do what we're doing. It really is God. And as I was giving it this more thought, I just realized, God, why us? Why are you giving us the privilege to be able to be a part of something that can literally influence 52% of the world's population? And I realized, because what he is trying to look for are people who are passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is their sole pursuit, to know Jesus, to be passionate about the things of Jesus, the gospel. Because it's going to strengthen us. The gospel strengthens us and it saves nations. And that's the thing that we are putting all ourselves, our time, our energy, because we're saying this is worth giving our lives to. How about us? I'm wondering how many of us have lost our passion for the gospel of Christ. Some of you will never step foot in China, ever. I'm just wondering, do you have the same burden and passion for the gospel here in Austin, in UT? How many of you walk down, what's up, Guadalupe? Walk down this one street and then you look around and you see all these people and it breaks your heart because you realize they're lost. How many of you go to work as a single adult, married person, and you go to your cubicle and just, instead of sitting in your cubicle and working on your computer, just pause and just look around and see just a sea of people who are in your office and you realize they don't know Jesus Christ? Are you passionate about the gospel? Is this something that you're willing to give your life for? Because it has changed your life. God has spoken to you through the gospel. He has healed you through the gospel. He has given you purpose through the gospel. I'm wondering, who are some people that God has placed in your life, or even right now? Even as we look ahead, you know it's going to be a new season of ministry and God's going to bring a new transition into this church. And I'm just wondering how many people here are so passionate about the things of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, because not only has it been strengthening you, because you realize he saved you as a sinner, but he has given you grace and mercy. But now you realize, God, this gospel, this revelation that has been given to me, God, I want other people to receive this revelation. Some of you are trying so hard to convert your parents. You can't. Until you realize you can't, that's when maybe God will start working. So that's why I'm going to go home, because I want to try to live a good Christian life so that somehow my parents will see Jesus in me. And the more you try to do things on your own, I'm going to tell you, the more frustrated you're going to be, because the more you try to be like Jesus, and the more your parents are going to get angry. And you're like, God, what is going on here? And every single time you're at school or you're away, they come to know Jesus Christ. You're like, well, wait, what happened? How about me? Why didn't God use me? Because he doesn't need us. That's what happened with my family. God didn't need me to see my dad come to Christ. Because to him who is what? Able to do, you fill in the blank, to bring your dad to Christ, to bring your mom to Christ, to bring your siblings to Christ, to bring this campus to Christ, to him who is able. That's why we have to be passionate about the gospel. If you're serious about this coming year, not just finishing off and thinking about the summer, I'm talking about just this coming year, what's going to be before us, not just for the college ministry, for the single adults, and even the married couples in this church. When you think about what is to come, you realize unless you are passionate about the gospel, and this is the thing that has touched your heart and transformed your life, you're not going to be able to do this on your own strength. And so that's why it should cause us to pray. It should cause us to trust in him. That's why we have to be passionate about the gospel. Let me finish with the second quick point here. not only be passionate about the gospel, listen, but be passionate about the glory of God. Be passionate about the glory of God. You know, one of the most disheartening things that I see in our generation is that we have become a generation that is so obsessed with ourselves. Everyone just pat ourselves on the shoulder. Go ahead. Just go ahead and do that. It's all right. We are constantly seeking validation from others. And you know what's making it worse? There are about 3 or 4 apps on your computer or on your phone that's making it worse. Just look at the behavior of your life when it comes to social media. I'm not against social media. Please, don't misunderstand me. My wife is on my kid's social media, so she knows what's going on. But then I'm like, Christina, do you know that they could block you? Do you know they could kind of make a group of their friends? And, you know, who wants their parents on their social media? Anyway, my wife is just too funny. Anyway, so we are so obsessed with how many likes and hearts that we have. That's why you always thumb through and like, how many people liked it? How many people hearted? And even Snapchat, some of you don't want to break that streak, right? So you just take a picture of anything. Here's a black wall. It goes, because you don't want to break that streak. We have social, in these social apps, we have filters that make you even look better. Not when you put that nose of a dog, but anyway. We have these filters that can actually take out all your blemishes. There's a filter. Do you know there? Okay, I shouldn't tell you all this stuff. So then you're like, where is that filter? I need that filter. That lightens your skin, that makes certain parts of your body bigger, smaller. It's incredible. Do you know that studies have shown that a like or a heart is similar to a small rush of dopamine which a person gets from cocaine? Do you know that? I was a psych major and a sociology major, so I'm watching you guys as a group right now, how you're responding. But they have done studies, and it has proven, as they did the MRI on their brain, the brain imaging, what they have seen is that when they see likes or hearts, it's like a small dose of dopamine that you get from crack cocaine. That's how it affects your brain. We have been so obsessed with ourselves. And so simply what pretty much, listen to me, what we have become as a culture, a generation of people, is that we are people who are so self-centered and we pursue the things that deals with us rather than the glory of God. If you don't believe me, I want to introduce you to this new movement that's happening in Asia. There's a lot of lonely guys. And because there's a lot of lonely guys, what they want to do and what they try to convey in these social media is they want to show people that they have girlfriends. So I don't even know if you know some of these pictures that's going around Snapchat and some of these other places in Instagram, but I want you to first look at this first picture here. Look at this picture. So you look at this picture like, aw, this guy is so cute. Look at this guy, you know? He's leading a girl. He's a godly man. He's leading this woman, leading her into... Belle, do you like it here? You know, and just leading her to this enchanted castle. But that's the image that they want to portray. So this is the reality. Okay? We gotta get serious here. We're just exposing all this, all right? Here's another picture. Aw, so cute, you know, they're holding hands. And you're taking a Snapchat picture of holding hands. But this is the reality of what's really going on. He is really good at twisting his arm. This is what's happening right now. We are obsessed with ourselves. Here's another picture. The typical, oh, I'm sleeping, but your girlfriend loves you so much, so she's taking a picture of you sleeping, right? This is the reality. He is really good making things look a certain way, but it's not reality. Look at this next one. Another one. You know, the cute little picture. Oh, the guy sleeping, so I'm going to draw on his face. This is what he's really doing. This guy really know how to twist his body. Okay, this is ridiculous. Here's a couple more. Here's another one. When the girl feeds the boy. You know that, oh, that's so cute. But this is what's really going on. He even painted his nails. Can you imagine? Ridiculous. This guy's really famous on the internet. How many more? Let me show you a couple more. Okay, same thing, eating. Look at those nails, right? Oh, it's a cute girl. She must really love him. Look at his eyes. He's even closing his eyes like, this is awesome. But this is what's really going on. And I can't believe this guy does it in public, right? This is like ridiculous. And then let me show you a couple others here. Okay, you know, oh, you got the ketchup and then. Okay. Look at this next one. This is one of those moments where you want to say, oh, he's expressing some PDA, you know, public display of affection. But this is what really is going on here. And he was interviewed by CNN. He goes, yeah, I like to carry this wig around because you just never know when the picture might be right. And then you'll see this other one here. Looks like a beautiful picture, and then you'll notice it's another wig. Listen, you know, when we talk about God's glory, we have to understand this biblical word. See, we are so obsessed with ourselves that we try to portray some kind of image of ourselves when it's not even true. When we talk about the glory of God, let me first say it has a couple different meanings. In the Old Testament, the word glory is kabod. That word kabod, which means weight or importance. Therefore, it has this reference to God that says to be weighty, something that's very heavy, or to have importance of or be of importance. That's what it means when we look at the word glory in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the word is doxa, and that has the connotation of reputation, honor, power, splendor, or even radiance that's expressed in a divine being. So when we think about giving glory to God, it means to acknowledge or to ascribe or to extol who is to this person, God, who is powerful and deserves this proper recognition of his importance. That's what it means to give glory to God. We're giving him the weighty importance of who he is. We're lifting him up. We're acknowledging him. We are ascribing and extolling God. That's why we're going to close with verse 27 as we read this. Listen to what it says. It says, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Listen. Just in this one verse, Paul clearly identifies God as a person who deserves all the praise. Paul describes God as the only wise God. You know, one of the ways that we will be able to give glory to God is when we know that God, in his wisdom, knows everything that he is doing. Let me just kind of pause here for a second. I want you to think about your life right now. I want you to think about your life and all that's happening or all that's not happening. I want to get married, but there's nobody. Or I thought I was going to get married, but she rejected me, or he rejected me, whatever the case. Listen. I think it's in these times when we go through things in our lives, when we question, God, do you really care or do you really understand? But this is the moment where you have to trust. Do you really believe that God is wise? And the reason why I say that is when you're able to trust in his wisdom, especially when you don't know why or you don't know your future, this is what brings glory to God. And let me try to explain this. When you don't know your future, you don't know why you're going through what you're going through. It doesn't make sense right now. Maybe it's a broken relationship. Maybe it's just a closed door. Maybe it's just something's going on in your life that's out of your control. and you're wondering, God, why is this happening? Pretty much the way you bring glory to God in this kind of situation is what you're saying is, God, I'm not God. I'm not you. I don't know what's happening. I'm not wise. I don't have all the answers. But Lord, you are God. You're wise. You know what's going on. And so what's happening is you are now glorifying him, magnifying him by saying, of all the weighty importance, it's upon you, Lord. You're the only one who's wise. This is why Paul, after writing the first 10 chapters of Book of Romans, he busted out in praise, realizing that God's wisdom is so much greater than his own wisdom. Listen to what it says in Romans chapter 11, verse 33 to 36. It says this, "Oh, what a wonderful God we have. How great are his riches and wisdom and knowledge. How impossible it is for us to understand his decisions and his methods. For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who knows enough to be his counselor? And who can ever give him so much that he would have to pay it back? For everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power and is intended for his glory. To him be glory forevermore. Amen." Do you see those phrases? How great. The wisdom and the knowledge. It's so impossible to understand his decisions, his methods. Everything comes from him. Everything exists by his power. And it's intended for his what? For his glory. Paul even mentions that God will receive the glory through Jesus Christ. It is God the Father that deserves all the praise and glory because he decided that through Jesus' life, through his death, through his resurrection, that the people will be saved. That's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, it says, "Then when he has conquered all things, the Son, Jesus Christ, will present himself to whom? To God, the Father, so that God who gave his Son authority over all things will be utterly supreme over everything, everywhere." So even Jesus Christ, though he is exalted, he will even put all things back to God, laying down his crown, say, "You alone deserve all the praise." Can I ask us, are you passionate about his glory? Are you passionate about the importance and the weightiness of who God is? Can other people see that in your life? Think about it this way. You have two decisions to make, or you have a decision to make, and there are two options. How you make that decision can bring glory to God. Some of us put more importance and weightiness on certain things that are sometimes very self-centered. But when you're able to put weightiness on the things of the valuing the kingdom of God, that's when you bring glory unto God. When you don't know what your future holds, but you're still going to trust in him and obey him and do the things that he has called you to do, even though your parents, even though your friends, even though your roommates, people might say things to you because it doesn't make sense in the worldly human being perspective, but you're trusting in God because he has spoken to you, then the way you bring glory to him is this, is that when you trust him through this whole process and when he delivers you, he shows you, he opens up a door, you don't receive the credit. It's God and God alone. Amen? He receives the glory. May we be passionate about his glory. It's all about his glory. That's why even in this church right now, everything that's going on is for his glory. It's not about a single person. It is not about what we're doing or what we're not doing. It's about his glory. That's why you have to trust, even though there are things that might not make sense, we're trusting because it's for his glory. If you believe he's good, you believe that he's great, you believe that he's in control, he's sovereign, then you have to trust him. Then you have to believe that he's doing all things, not only for our good, but for his glory. That's why this is simply the gospel. If there's anybody who is passionate about this gospel, it is not you and I, but it's God himself. Because he is passionate about his glory. And that's why he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to come into this world to die for sinners like you and I. That's how passionate he is about his glory. And this gospel, it was not just proclaimed, but it was demonstrated when Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for you and I. And that's why once we have experienced this true joy of knowing this gospel, And we find this joy of learning how to glorify God in everything that we do. That's when we understand the privilege that we have to take this gospel message to the ends of this earth. I pray that all of you in this room have experienced and just tasted more of who God is, and that you will surrender your hearts and your lives to Him. So once again, the one thing is live for God's pleasure as we treasure Jesus beyond all measure. May we be passionate for the gospel, and may we be passionate for His glory. Can I just encourage us to think about this by even doing a couple things, even after this place we leave? First of all, the next steps, listen to me. I know some of you are at different stages of your life. Some of you are at different spirituality, but let me give you some next steps for you to think about. First of all is reevaluate your pursuits. What are you pursuing after? You know, the saddest thing for some of us right now is you're going to be trying to climb up this corporate ladder only to find out that you were climbing the wrong wall. There's nothing wrong with succeeding in life. There's nothing wrong with doing really well at work and school. But some of you, your pursuit is all surrounded around you. And I'm going to tell you right now, before you even get started, it's going to be an empty and unfulfilling life. And it's going to take you to about 50-some years old when you go through the midlife crisis. And then you're going to completely change your career because you realize this is not satisfying. Reevaluate your pursuits. What are you pursuing after? If it does not circle around the gospel and it's not about His glory and it doesn't value the kingdom, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to leave you empty. There's, once again, there's nothing wrong with pursuing good grades. There's nothing wrong with pursuing a good job. But my challenge to you is why? If you're doing it because you want to validate yourself or get approval from your parents or trying to make yourself feel better because you're so insecure, I'm going to tell you right now, it's going to lead you to an empty place in an alley that it's going to be so dark. That's why there are so many people who get addicted to so many things, whether it's drugs or alcohol or other stuff, because there's an emptiness in their heart they're trying to fill. And if it's not filled with the gospel and Jesus is our pursuit, it's going to leave you empty. Second thing that you want to think about is this: redirect your passions. Maybe some of us, as you're reevaluating, you realize, man, I've been passionate about all these things, and it's not about Jesus. It's not about things related to the kingdom. Redirect it. Now, some of you might be passionate about cooking. Cook for Jesus, all right? I mean, do it so that you could feel His pleasure, because as you're doing this, you're doing it for the joy of not only serving Him, but also to serve people. If some of you have this passion for sports, you know, it was kind of funny because I was sharing with this with the pastors, but there's this Caucasian guy who's going to our church, and he's on an exchange from a university in the United States. And it was funny because, like, he wanted to meet up. So I said, okay, sure, let's meet up. So we were meeting up, and we were meeting for a couple hours. But a good chunk of our conversation was about NCAA basketball and football. That's all we talked about. Because I love sports. I could tell this guy loves sports. We're just talking about NCAA, you know, the National Collegiate. Is that right? Athletic Association, whatever. NCAA, that's what it is. And then afterwards, he just looked at me and goes, wow, that felt really good. And I'm like, huh? You know, because we just had dim sum here. And I'm like, and he goes, no, it just felt really good because I was able to actually talk with somebody else about sports. Because everyone in Hong Kong, they don't even know what the NCAA bracket is. I could tell this guy was passionate about sports. He wasn't just talking. He was like getting into it. He shifted his body, and he was talking about sports. And a part of me, I was thinking to myself, if he can direct that passion for sports to Jesus, that'd be awesome, number one. But number two, I'm like, he can still use sports, his passion for it, to glorify God. Redirect your passion towards the gospel and towards Jesus. And lastly, renew your promises. Some of you in this room have made commitments to Jesus. You made vows. You signed those little cards. I'm going to do this. Some of you just need to renew that. Some of you decided you're going to live for the kingdom of God. You're going to do this so that you can do it so that God will be honored. So this will allow you to experience things. Maybe some of us have forgotten. So we need to renew our promises. You know, it's getting late. I had this video to close out with, but I'm going to skip it because I want us to pray more than watching a video. Let's just stand together. Can we just stand? You know, people always ask me, Pastor Seth, how's Hong Kong? Do you love Hong Kong? I'm like, man, I feel like God made Hong Kong for me. And I genuinely say that it's not because of the weather, even though during the winter time it's nice. It's about 60 some degrees in the winter time, kind of like Texas. But during the summer, oh my God, it is so hot. You have to take 3 showers a day. Just walking to the train station, you start sweating. So I don't think it's the weather. I mean, we have the concrete jungle. We have the ocean. We have mountains. Even though it's beautiful, that's not the reason why. The more I think about why is it that I love Hong Kong, and I'll explain. Because there are certain things about the Chinese culture to drive me up the wall. If you're Chinese, I love you. Jesus loves you too. The reason why I feel like very passionate about Hong Kong is connected to the mission. That's it. There's better barbecue in Texas. There's so many other things that I enjoy in other places around the world. I've traveled to many places, almost every continent. There's so many better things. But the reason why I'm so passionate about Hong Kong is that it is part of the mission and vision that God has given to me and to our church. See, that's what happens when you're able to align that passion that God has given you, and then you connect it to the gospel and to His glory. I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to feel like you were made for this. Just like Eric Little. Remember what he said? He says, God made me fast. And every time I run, I feel His pleasure. I just feel like God created me to be in Hong Kong, to share the gospel. And every time I do, I feel His pleasure. What is that for you? I know some of you are still very young. You're trying to discover, but I will say this. If you don't have a vision and mission for your life, as I always share to other people, go borrow one. And what better place to borrow a vision and mission than what you hear about every single week? To transform lost people into Christ's disciples who will then transform the world. To multiply churches on campuses and in cities to transform the next generation among the nations. To me, that's bigger than you. That's bigger than me. And I want to be a part of that. And I just pray here at HMCC of Austin, every single one of you, some of you are just starting off, you're only a freshman, first year, second year in this church. I pray by the time you graduate that you have pursued after the things of God. Those of you who have been with us for some time and you're thinking, God, I just feel like I'm going this way. I'm tired. Maybe what you need to do is get on your knees and repent, because you have forgotten your first love. You have forgotten the gospel that strengthens believers. The gospel that you realize, man, the gospel saves nations. Maybe tonight, before we leave, may we be refreshed as we think about the gospel. May we be refreshed when we think about our purpose in life. May God give us that burden in our hearts tonight. Can we just bow our heads and let me pray for us? We'll worship a little bit. We'll pray. I don't know. I feel burdened. I don't know. I know you guys have hiking early morning, so you're like, Pastor, please, can you end this now so I can sleep? But you can hike and then on the top, just go to sleep, take a nap there. All right? Take a nap there. This is not a school building, so I guess hopefully we're going to be here just a little bit longer. I don't know why I feel burdened that tonight I want the pastors and some of the leaders here, I want us to pray for you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for God's anointing upon you, that you will live for God's pleasure as you make Jesus that treasure beyond all measure. May he be our one thing. May he be our one thing. So Lord, I just thank you. And tonight, I just pray that by the work of your Holy Spirit, that you will remind us of the gospel message once again. And why it is, Lord God, that we worship this Jesus and we worship you. We thank you that you came down and you lived this life that we could not live for ourselves, this perfect life, but you did. And God, it should have been us hanging on the cross, paying the penalty of our sins, because your wrath was upon us. But Lord Jesus, you took that wrath upon yourself when you died on the cross, so that we did not have to experience it. You took it for us. And we're forever grateful. We're thankful, Lord. I pray just understanding the gospel more and more, Lord, may it strengthen us. May it motivate us. Help us to see that this gospel will save nations. And the nations are coming to this great city of Austin, Lord. The nations are coming to UT. I pray, oh Lord God, that you will put a fire in our hearts to live out this mission and vision. And God, may we all do it for your glory and your glory alone. May we not be self-centered people who live for ourselves, our own little dreams, wanting our own little petty goals. But Lord, all our goals and all our tasks before us, Lord, it pales in comparison to the great and awesome goal of making disciples of all nations. I just pray that your Spirit will fill us. It will motivate us tonight. We will renew our hearts, our pursuits, our passions. I pray that we will rededicate ourselves with the things that we have promised unto you from the past. Stir our hearts, Lord, that only you can do. I'm going to ask us just for about a minute, just quietly in our hearts. I just want you to ask two simple questions. First, am I passionate about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Number two, am I passionate for the glory of God? And if it's not, let's take this time to repent and say, God, I can't do this. To him who is able, to him who is able, Lord, you're the only one who's able to change my heart. You're the only one who's able to stir my heart for the things of the gospel. Lord, you are the only one who's able to convict me of areas of my life that I need to get right. So ask yourself those two questions. Let's really ask the Lord, who is able to do all things, to help us. Can we do that for 1 minute, a minute and a half? And then we'll just enter into his presence through worship. And we're going to pray together. Let's just fill this night, this evening, just with praises, and God will be lifted up and exalted. Let's do that right now.